Welcome to the Battle of the Brothers, Utah Utes and BYU Football Podcast. We're two brothers, one a true blue BYU Cougars fan, the other a diehard Utah Utes fan. Battle it out about BYU Cougars and Utah Utes football. I'm your host, C Double. Let me introduce you to our battling brothers. Our BYU fanboy is TC. You there?
I am here, ready to rumble.
All right, and our Utes diehard is K-Ray. Are you alive, K-Ray?
Yo, game for any fuss, baby. Bring it.
Any fuss. All right. Well, this is our 11th podcast, and now the season is getting really interesting. We got Utah trending upwards, taking control of the Pac-12 South with a huge win over UCLA. Well, maybe not huge, but point-wise, it was a huge win. BYU trending downwards with a brutal one-point loss to the mighty Northern Illinois Huskies. Now, truth be told, I actually served part of my mission in DeKalb, Illinois, and the campus was my area, so I am kind of a closet Huskies fan. So we may get some Huskies propaganda in this podcast here. But all right, so let's start off with K-Ray. Utes are playing the best they've played all year, and they're doing it consistently. So break down the UCLA game for us.
Boy. I mean, look, it was UCLA, and UCLA is really bad. So it's tough to get too excited about this win, except for the fact that I'm just excited about the win, and so is every other Ute fan, because we're just playing so well right now. Anytime you beat UCLA, USC, Stanford, Arizona all in a row, you're happy. You're happy. I mean, these are the people in the Pac-12 South that you fight against for the right to go to the Pac-12 championship, which game has been denied the University of Utah up to this point. So pretty excited right now about where we're going and the status of the program. In the past, it's always been the defense carrying the offense, and any win came because the defense held stout and the offense got a play or two. Right now, both offense and defense are really clicking, and it's exciting. It's exciting to watch. Zach Moss, another big game, 211 yards. He averaged more than 8 yards a carry. He's just getting stronger as the year goes on. Tyler Huntley continues to play well, and I think they've really got a good rhythm of how they mix in Covey into the offense. You know, early in the season against Washington, we thought they relied on him too heavily. Then they went away from him. This past game against UCLA, he threw a touchdown pass. He caught some clutch passes, and he had a couple of nice runs too. So it's fun, and the defense, I can't say enough about them either. Good game by Utah.
Yeah, defense was amazing. Yeah, that was a beatdown on all fronts, and the offense was definitely clicking. I mean, they were rolling. So, TC, give us your thoughts on the Utes spanking the UCLA Bruins there.
Oh, man, I wish I could find something to disagree with K-Ray on, but, I mean, everything he says is pretty accurate. They seem to be hitting on all cylinders. Zach Moss looks like a monster. I haven't been that impressed with Moss up until kind of the last couple games, but he's kind of proven me wrong. He looks like the real deal, pretty legit. They are starting to find Covey, I think, at the right pace. They're not going to him on every play like they did against Washington, and they're not going to him too seldomly like they have in past games. So it seems like they've really gelled and their offense is really clicking. You know, Huntley appears to know when to just tuck the ball and go and salvage some yards on a broken play. He's not holding the ball for longer than he should, like we saw in earlier games. So, you know, the only potential upside in all of this for BYU is that teams tend to go through momentum shifts, and I mean, there's no sign of Utah slowing down, but, you know, teams do have a tendency to peak and then they go down. So there's an ebb and flow, I think, sometimes for most teams. Now, if you're talking like in Alabama or, you know, the premier teams, I mean, their goal is to be on top of their game every game, but that is very rare. So the only silver lining for a BYU fan watching these games is that maybe they're peaking a little too early and they get out of rhythm. Because if BYU were to play Utah right now, I mean, it would be over before the first quarter even ended. I just think Utah's playing at such a level, and there's a potential for that to maybe come down. You know, so something gets out of sync, but man, right now they look really good. I will say this: what is going on with the Pac-12 South? You have Arizona, you know, that's just been at the bottom the whole season, and they come out and they just slaughter Oregon. Now, I know Khalil Tate's been playing injured, and they finally gave him the necessary rest, and he came out, and maybe he really is that big of a difference player when he's healthy. But then you had Colorado lose to Oregon State. I mean, it just seems like a really schizophrenic division. But you know, the one constant is really Utah. I mean, they're the ones that's coming in and taking care of business week in, week out.
Yeah, Pac-12 South is all over the map this year. Absolutely, yeah. Okay, yeah, I think the Utes are playing like they should have from the beginning of the season, kind of playing to the level that most people thought they should be playing at with the talent they have. And with the Washington loss to Cal over the weekend, that could have been the biggest gift the Utes get right there, because that means they likely will not face Washington in a Pac-12 South, well, a Pac-12 championship game if Utah can win out the South. So, I mean, if Washington State and Utah meet up in the Pac-12 championship game, now that is one of the best championship matchups in the country. I mean, I like it because it's not your typical Pac-12 powerhouses in the championship game. But let's talk real quick about the loss of Washington to Cal. Now, give us some stuff on that, K-Ray.
Well, real quick, before we go into that, my understanding is, and I defer to K-Ray because he's the conference expert here, but I think although Washington State is at the top of the North standings, if Washington were to win that game at the end of the year, they would have a head-to-head tiebreaker. So the game, I think, is at Washington State. So I think if Washington takes care of business, and, you know, we can talk about if they can after this Cal defeat, then Utah would still have to go through the Huskies, I think. Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, if they have the same record in conference and head-to-head wins, that's correct. But at this point, I'm not sure. I wouldn't rather play Washington than Washington State. Washington State is playing really,
yeah, they're
really well
scary
right now. Washington is not playing well at all.
So there's another tale of two teams where you got one kind of trending upwards, one trending downwards. Now, didn't they bench Browning in this last week's Washington game?
Yeah, they benched Browning.
Oh, man. How bad does it get if you're benching your starter? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean Browning was the Heisman candidate, golden child. They brought in a guy named Jake Hayner, who was 1 for 4. Well, he was 2 for 4, but one of those two completions was an interception. So he played horrible as well. His QBR was 0.5, not even a 1, 0.5. They're a mess right now. This is not what you expect out of a Peterson offense at all. So they're playing really poorly.
So, I mean, that gets to my point that I made earlier. You know, these teams can go up and down throughout the season. And, man, I just really hope by the time Thanksgiving weekend rolls around that Utah stumbles on something, because, man, at this point, it's not looking good.
Well, yeah, Utah, they still have some tough matchups. I mean, every week they got ASU, they got Oregon, even Colorado could give them some trouble. I mean, looks like they're headed down, but they're still a tough team. And then, of course, you know, the game against BYU. So, I mean, Utah does not have an easy road by any means to walk into the, you know, Pac-12 championship. They got to handle business for sure.
Especially this next week at Arizona State. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get to that one. All right, now let's move over to Provo here with TC. I know you've got to be thrilled this week with the stellar performance of BYU's offense. So give us your take on the loss to NIU.
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, there's not even much to say. I was pretty impressed with Wilson's play. I mean, minus the interception at the end. He actually looked pretty good. I just don't get the running up the middle. I mean, I get you got to keep defenses honest, but that didn't pay dividends until the last quarter where we got maybe two runs of 9 and 11 yards up the middle. And it seemed like we were trying to set a record for 1 yard runs up the middle. gosh, I don't know. It was just not an exciting game. You would think if you're looking at the scoreboard, 6 points by a BYU team in Provo against Northern Illinois. I mean, I know their defense is better than, you know, their name sounds, but this is just not the BYU that fans are accustomed to. I mean, expectations are high. It used to be, you know, 30 points was kind of the low mark. And yeah, we're putting up two field goals. And quite frankly, I have not been as impressed with Grimes, the new offensive coordinator, as a bunch of other people have. I think BYU fans thought, you know, he was going to come in and save the program, and a lot of people still think that. But I mean, he's putting up, you know, I'm not gonna do the math in my head, but his average points per game is not that much different than Detmer. And the I know it's the players on the field that execute, but I mean, the discipline doesn't seem to be there. You know, we have first and goal on the 5, and we get 2 false starts right in a row that puts us out of, you know, we got the field goal, but I mean, that's the difference in the game, is just like simple mistakes that we're making. So I do like Grimes' offensive play calling much more. I think it's more creative. I think it opens up the field and uses a lot of the skill players that we have, whereas Detmer, it was hard to get the ball in their hands. But man, the results are just not – they're just not kicking in, and maybe this is kind of the growing pains of, you know, instituting a new offense, you know, and you're trying to get the personnel to match with that. But that was a disappointing loss all around. You know, it'd be one thing had we lost, you know, 33-32, but to lose 7-6, man, that's even more deflating.
Yeah. Now, all right. So, TC, there was an article in BYU's campus newspaper, Daily Universe, that talked about BYU's defense and how they're being coached to play like it's the NFL. Give us your take on some of that.
Well, okay. The way you phrased it had a kind of a positive connotation. The article basically described how they were teaching their defensive backs to play according to the NFL rules, which essentially stated that you can only bump a receiver 5 yards off the line, and then you got to keep your hands off them. Whereas in the NCAA, you can bump a receiver all the way down the field until the ball leaves the quarterback's hands, and BYU is being taught to play adhering to the NFL rules. I honestly, you know, I can't quote the rule book. I don't think it's that. stark of a difference on how you train defensive backs. But I guess I would, before I give that article any credence whatsoever, I would have to do the research and actually look. I can't imagine you have, you know, 2/3 through the season and the coaches and the players either one don't know the rules or two are just opting to play by a different set of rules and not take advantage of the option to bump receivers downfield when that's legal. So I don't know. I don't give it much credence, but you know, maybe it's accurate. I'd have to look into it.
Well, it's accurate. There were quotes from the players saying that's what they do. That's what the coaches tell them. They're explaining the practices that they do. So, I mean, that's pretty bad. If your coaches are telling you, oh yeah, don't touch the guy, even though you can, don't do it. I don't know. That's pretty bad.
I mean, even in college, you can't just like go push a receiver down running down the field. I mean, and there's certain limits. I mean, I think the article was, again, I could be wrong. I think it was mischaracterizing the rules a little bit and the positives for playing per the NCAA rules. I don't think it's that big of a difference in how you would play. But again, I'd have to go and look at it more closely.
Yeah. I think the bottom line is BYU's O-line was just atrocious. I mean, they were just horrible. Like Wilson was scrambling every play. I mean, you just don't win games without a decent O-line. And not that BYU doesn't have a decent O-line, but man, they sure did not play like it. They got pushed around big time.
So here's my take on the game. It's Northern Illinois is a weird common opponent with Utah this year.
Yeah.
I think that has to do with UC Dublin. You served your mission there, so you must have arranged these two games.
Oh, yeah, I took care of that one for you guys.
but let me say this: they held us, our offense, to our lowest output of the season. They're a really good defense.
Yeah.
I mean, our offense only scored 10 points on them, and they held Zach Moss to his lowest total of the year. So the fact that BYU's offense struggled against their defense, I mean, that's so did Utah, and you can see what Utah's offense is doing to other teams. They have a really good defense, and it's almost unfair to grade Zach Wilson's second game against that type of defense. But on the BYU side of the ball, pass the ball to Matt Bushman. He is your best player. Every time he gets the ball, it's a great play. He only had 3 receptions this past game, but it was like for 63, 65 yards, something like that. Get him the ball. He is your covey, meaning not the same type of player, yes, but he's your best player right now on offense.
Yeah.
Get him. Yeah. Get him the ball every possession at least once.
Yeah, there's been a lot of controversy over his playing time. I mean, he's had to split playing time with Holker and Moroni Laulapututau. And, the second player I just mentioned there is injured, so now it's just between him and Holker. But there was a lot of head scratching as to why this guy wasn't featured more, and there was rumors that, you know, he wasn't taking practice seriously. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but yeah, I mean, he was a freshman All-American last year, and you're right, every time the ball is thrown to him, it is either a big play or, you know, on the cusp of a big play. Totally agree, he needs to be more of a feature in the offense.
Yeah, so I mean, clearly we're downplaying NIU just because it's NIU, but yeah, they obviously played really well against both Utah and BYU, so clearly they do have a decent team. Their defense is good, absolutely. Go Huskies. So let's talk bowl games. All right, let's talk bowl games here. So TC, BYU has to win 2 more games to be bowl eligible. If they pull that off, where could they be headed?
So I've looked at, like, Bleacher Report. I've looked at ESPN. I actually think probably – I mean, none of these are, like, super accurate. It's not like predicting the NCAA tournament field because things change just more rapidly than that in college football. One loss takes you, you know, 3 rungs down the bowl totem pole. So, but, you know, I actually kind of like their predictions, USA Today. They have them playing – in the Frisco Bowl versus an American team. And the American Athletic Conference is, I mean, I've talked about this before. I'll go on record right now. I think they're better than the Pac-12 up from top to bottom. They got UCF, which is ranked higher than any Pac-12 team. They got USF that just lost, but they got destroyed by a really good Houston team. And right now they have BYU matched up against Houston. Now, I think that would be really, really interesting, but man, at this point, you know, if we're bowl eligible, it looks like we'll barely be bowl eligible, like 6-6. Hopefully we can take care of UMass and New Mexico State. I would maybe even prefer not to play an American Athletic team because Houston is like firing on all cylinders right now too. So, you know, any bowl game for BYU is going to be considered a success given where we were last year with, you know, not, you know, watching from the couches.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, definitely a good BYU spin on there on that one. All right, K-Ray, where do you see the Utes playing?
Oh boy, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really, really interesting. Certainly, we have a chance at the Rose Bowl. I mean, it's within our ability. It's within our power to get there. We went out. We go to the Rose Bowl, at which point we'd likely be playing Ohio State. Maybe Michigan or Penn State. I would love to play Michigan. I mean, we own Michigan. I'd love to play Michigan. Ohio State against Urban Meyer. That would be one for the ages right there. Yeah. Our old coach and Kyle Whittingham's good buddy, squaring off in the Rose Bowl. You know, there's talk about if we don't win the Pac-12, which is obviously possible as well. Playing a team like Penn State in the Holiday Bowl, potentially West Virginia in another bowl. There's talk all the way down to the Sun Bowl maybe as well. So it's still really open right now. The next couple weeks are going to be very, very telling. I think if we get to the Pac-12 championship game, that it likely will be the Holiday Bowl, unless we win it, which we obviously would love to do and plan to do, then be the Rose Bowl. But either way, it looks like it's going to be a good bowl season for Utah as long as we keep winning. Now, I would love to see Ohio State or Michigan, no doubt.
Now, if you guys win the rest of your games and then end up losing in the Pac-12 championship, how would you feel about going to Las Vegas and playing Colorado State?
Well, if we win the South, we won't be in Las Vegas. So,
all right, okay, just checking.
All right, now let's look ahead to next week. So BYU has a big one, probably one of their biggest ones on their schedule against Boise State. So TC, can BYU win on the Blue Tundra? What do you say?
Oh man. No, I don't think we can.
Oh, man. Okay. Elaborate for us.
Look, Boise can pass the ball. BYU can't defend the pass. Again, if they played Michigan, if they played Wisconsin again, you know, if they played any team that just features the run more, they would have more of a chance. But we just don't do well against teams that pass. Maybe that's right. I mean, for all the negatives about the last game, our defense actually played really, really well. You know, I think the one touchdown Northern Illinois had was on really short field possession. And for the most part, our defense has actually been playing pretty decent the past few games. So maybe they keep us in it, and they have been playing better against the past few games. And maybe that's a function of who they were playing. But yes, just right now, I don't know. I just don't. If it were at home, I think we'd have a fighting chance. But on the road, I just don't see us winning the game.
Okay, K-Ray, does BYU stand a chance?
I think I can be a little more objective as I look at this, and I think they do have a chance. I think that Boise State, BYU always plays Boise State really well. Unlike Utah, who for some reason freezes up every time they play Boise State, BYU plays them well. I think there's a chance. They've got to let Wilson throw the ball. Let him throw it. You don't have the running game to beat Boise State. I don't know who's going to line up the running back for BYU. Is it Takua? Is it Hadley? Is it Canada? Is it one of the Kafusi brothers? Goodness, every time I turn on a BYU athletic event, it could be like women's soccer, and there's a Kafusi on the team somewhere, man. So I don't know, man. I actually think they do have for clarity's sake, I only watch BYU women's soccer if Utah women's soccer is playing them. Let's get that very straight right now. But
women's soccer fan here.
I think they have a chance. I think they have a chance if they let Zach Wilson throw the ball. If the quarterback that is allowed to throw the ball like he did against Hawaii, you've got a shot. You've got Matt Bushman. You've got a couple other receivers. A chance, yes. I give them more of a chance than I think TC does.
Okay. All right. Now, K-Ray, Utah has a really interesting matchup against ASU. We were actually texting about this. Heading into last week's games, Moss and ASU's running back Benjamin had literally like identical numbers. It was like so identical, it was mind-blowing. So Who do you see coming out on top there?
Oh, man. I'm scared to death of Eno Benjamin. That guy is...
Yeah.
That guy's a sophomore. He's a beast.
Oh, he's a beast.
I mean, he's got almost 1,000 yards already on the season. And I'm really, really nervous about this game. I mean, it's Utah is the, you know, supposed to win, and it should be a game where they go in and they take care of business because they've beaten everyone else so bad the last 4 weeks. But Herm Edwards, the CEO. And Eno Benjamin, nervous. I'm nervous. At the game is at Tempe.
Yeah.
That's one of the away games I've been to. I've been to a game at Tempe, and Utah got throttled in that game. And so I just have – I've had bad memories of Sun Devil Stadium, and I'm worried. I'm worried. I am very worried about this game.
Yeah. I think I don't know. I think the Utes could be overlooking this one. There's a lot of key matchups in this game that don't bode well for Utah. But I mean, clearly they have the talent. Clearly they can win it. I think this game comes down to coaching. It's literally going to come down to play calling because I think all the athletes match up pretty well. And there's, I mean, I don't know who you guys have that can defend. What's his name? Harry, the ASU wide receiver. But should be fun.
Yeah,
should be fun. Should be
Nikhil Harry.
Yep.
He's really good.
Oh yeah, he's amazing. So it should be a fun one. I mean, historically Utah has not done well against ASU. They always choke it against ASU, even though they're favored to win last year, same thing. So yeah, I don't know how ASU has a little edge over Utah, but historically they have. All right, TC, give us your thoughts on this matchup for Utah.
You know what? I'm going to do something totally unconventional here. I'm going to yield my time from to the congressman from Arizona State. double. That's your college. That's where you graduated from. I mean, I want to know your thoughts more than I think people want to know your thoughts more than mine.
Well, my thoughts are, I think ASU will win this one by a field goal. That's what I think will happen. I don't know what it is. It's just Utah does not come to play against ASU. Like every year, it's the same thing. They just cannot do it. I don't know why. And it being an away game, I don't know. I think the Utes are getting a little big-headed with their big wins over UCLA and Arizona. And I think they're coming in a little cocky. And, they think they're about to get humbled by the Mighty Devils. So,
but yep. It could be.
No, honestly, I would actually rather see Utah win just because it'd be a lot more fun to see them win and kind of win out and see what happens there. I mean, ASU, their season's pretty much done. Like, they're not winning anything this year. I mean, they're kind of in the BYU boat where we're just hoping to get to a bowl game. So, yeah.
Now, can we do some kind of, like, friendly wager between you two?
Well, we possibly could.
If Utah wins, then, you know, CW, you're going to have to sing, you know, the Utah fight song or at least the version that they put out this year of it.
Well, the thing that upsets me at this game, I actually have tickets to this game, and I can't go. So,
Wow.
I could paint a big U on my chest. And what's funny is the tickets are actually in the Utah Utes section. So I was actually going to be forced by the Utah Athletic Department to wear Utah Utes gear, or else they would not let me sit there, according to the according to your guy's sister who got me the tickets.
This is your contact within the Utah administration. Is that correct?
Correct. So, yeah. Great. Well, I was going to paint a big red U on my bare chest, but let's not go there. Let's just stick with a mud wrestling bet. Whoever loses, we got to mud wrestle with TC. How about that?
Oh, man, boy.
I'm undefeated.
So. Oh, shit. All right, well, I think we probably had better end it on that note. We don't want to go down the mud wrestling route any further.
I don't care what happens inside your house, man. Leave us out of that, man.
Maybe next week we'll tell the story about how TC was caught up in a mud wrestling ring at BYU. So.
That is a story for the ages. I'll never forget.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, that about wraps it up for this week. Anything else you guys want to add?
Yeah, just one thing real quick. I thought it was really, really cool what BYU Athletics and what the Rock did to commemorate Laura McCluskey, the University of Utah athlete, track and field athlete that was killed last week. A lot of respect to BYU Athletics for the support they showed.
Yeah, real classy. Very classy. Now, I don't know if Utah would do that for BYU, but it was classy on BYU's part for sure.
Yeah. You know, I like to think we would. I hope we would, and I think we would, but certainly let's hope we never have to find out.
Yeah, exactly.
Really sad. Really, really sad. Yeah,
tragic, definitely. So. All right, that about wraps it up for this week. Until next time, we are out.
Peace.
Peace.
Nope.